Today on Real Life Radio.
So I don't know what the future holds. You don't have to know. It's a good thing you don't know. God knows. Yeah, but I don't know about this and I don't know about that. You're not supposed to know. God knows. A Christian looks forward with anticipation to the future, and that breeds within us devotion to God. We've got a future, Christian.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called Combat Faith, a study in 2 Peter with a message called Before I Let You Go, Part 1. Now, in these final verses, Peter is filled with emotion. His parting words are spoken without compromise, and yet they come from the heart of a shepherd. Peter's unwavering love for the church is an expression of his faith in Jesus Christ. So, sharing what lies ahead for the world and what's in store for the true believer in Jesus Christ has become his passion and his focus. There is so much from Peter for us to take in, but like a father to his children, Peter offers his last bit of guidance and wisdom to the church. He writes this letter to encourage Christians, especially those who are scattered by persecution, to keep growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, not just learning about him, but knowing him in a very personal way. Instead of indulging in sin like false teachers would suggest, we are to set aside sin so that we can live in peace with the Savior. So in this part of today's message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that parting words are always meaningful. It is hard to let go, especially when we're facing the end of life. But how we say goodbye is a very telling sign of how we lived. Peter, always the teacher, gives instruction on how to carry on once he's gone. And now in his message called Before I Let You Go, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
We're looking at a message in the closeout of this, one that, for me personally, and I don't know, this always happens to me. When I come to the end of a study, when I come to the end of a book, it affects me emotionally. I really get into it. And thus, excuse me in advance, forgive me in advance, thus the title of Peter's closing arguments, and that is, Before I Let You Go. Before I Let You Go comes from the farewell message that Peter is giving the church that is before us. Before I let you go. These words, to me anyway, I hope to you, provoke in us a sense of emotion. They mean most normally, usually, farewell, goodbye, before I let you go. By the way, there's a sense of endearment with this. If it was somebody that wasn't close to you, you would say goodbye or I gotta go. But there's this term where this aged old man, Peter, a weathered saint, scars to prove the years of following Jesus. I love that. Scars to prove the years of following Jesus. So did Paul. Paul bore the scars of following Jesus. In Paul's case, very literally. Severely beaten. His body, and he mentions it, bears in his body the marks of Jesus Christ. Stigmata. That the world had afflicted Paul for his faith in Christ. And with Peter, we don't know much about Peter in the sense of having actual physical confrontations with people. It's possible, but it's not written. But Peter now is aged. And by the way, most scholars tell us that at the moment of this writing, we are somewhere between 4 and 6 weeks away from his death. Awesome words, before I let you go. In the sense that there's Peter's closing words here, it's a preamble. It's interesting. It's the end of the book, but it's a preamble to the end. And it's coming from the heart of a shepherd. Very early on in Peter's relationship with Jesus, Jesus had said to Peter, if you love me, Peter, feed my sheep. Remember that? Feed my sheep. And Peter took that very seriously. And God called Peter to be the minister of the gospel to the Jewish believers. God had called Paul to preach to the Gentile world. Peter was called to the Jewish believers, and both of them shared the exact same message of Jesus Christ, and that is salvation. You're going to hear about salvation today, but a life given, a life offered up. By the way, Christian, listen, you're going to hear a lot this morning about devotion, and you and I need to hear about that today. We don't hear about that enough, devotion. We see Muslims devoted to the point of blowing themselves up. We see Jews devoted to God to the point of standing at the Wailing Wall, and because they cannot articulate any further loving God with all of their heart, soul, strength, and mind, they say, this is the way that I can show that I love God with my strength. I pray before the wall, moving like this, telling God, I love him. Now, that's what it's supposed to mean. But we as Christians, we of all people have a reason to express our love to God because we have a true relationship with God. It's not based upon some outward movement, nor on your physical sacrifice. It is based upon what Paul spoke about in Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, that you and I are called to love on God and to worship him and to be living sacrifices. Did you know that? God wants you to live for him all the way through to the end. In devotion. Listen, some examples about devotion. Nathaniel Hale, an American soldier and spy for the Continental Army and for General Washington. During the American Revolution, you might know his famous statements when he was arrested by the British and found out to be a spy. Nathaniel Hale said, quote, I only regret that I have but one life to lose for my country. And Nathaniel Hale hung. What about George Washington? The closing conversations of citizen George Washington at Mount Vernon was with his secretary, Tobias Lear, concerning his burial arrangements. Listen to this, quote, have me decently buried and do not let my body be put into the vault in less than 3 days after I'm dead. That was Washington's request. Fears, listen to this, fears of being buried too soon were common in the 18th century. Although Tobias Lear reportedly bowed affirmatively, Washington wanted to be certain. Do you understand, was the question Washington asked. And upon receipt of verbal confirmation that his last wishes would be honored, Washington spoke his final words, and he said, 'Tis well. That's old English. 'Tis well is what we would say today. It's well. Washington's final words before he left this world was, it's well. You want to die like that? I do. It's well. It's well. John Quincy Adams, his famous last words were these. This is the last of earth. I am content. What a great statement, right? How will you die? What will be on your lips? Jesus' last words recorded in John's gospel before he entered eternity was, it is finished. Isn't that great? It's finished. I love that. He didn't say, I'm finished. He said, it's finished. The sacrifice for sin, the redemption of mankind, the atonement to satisfy the heart of a holy and awesome God. Jesus says, it's finished. Everything was done to bring you, to bring us into heaven. He had performed that great performance for us. So church, let's look at this together, if you would. Let these words be in you. And we look at our first argument. Before I let you go, Peter would say to us, and I want to say to you, as I say to myself, keep your faith alive. Will you mark that down? Keep your faith alive. Church family, listen up. If you've not thought about this, you need to think about it today. And the greatest thing that you own is not your portfolio. It's not your investments. It's not your house. It's not your family. It's not anything you own. It's not something that is in some shrine or some trophy case. The greatest thing that you possess as a believer is your faith. You never want to lose your faith. The greatest thing, listen, I mean this in a healthy way. The greatest thing that should concern you regarding your day-to-day existence as a believer is that your faith is intact and that it's being nurtured by you because you take it seriously, you're devoted to God, and your faith is the greatest thing that you possess. Because listen, when you lose faith, you begin to lose hope. Faith can be resurrected. Faith can be, listen, reinvested in. The Bible tells us, God says, a bruised reed, you know a reed, along the river, there'll be a reed. But you notice those reeds. I know when we were growing up in San Diego, we had, I don't know why, but we had a bunch of reeds near our house. I remember that. And you know those reeds, and at the top, they got that little bushy thing at the top. And they bend in the breeze beautifully. But you know what? If you as much bump that thing, you know what happens? You put a crease in it, and it just goes whoop. Just right on over, right at the crease. And God says, a bruised reed, I'm not going to break. Think about it. Maybe your faith this morning is as a bruised reed. You've got faith, but you've been beat up by circumstances or by doubt. God says, I'm not going to break that reed. That means there's hope. And the second thing is this. He says, a smoking flax, I will not extinguish. What does that mean? Just the last glowing ember that is on a wick. Have you ever blown out a wick or a tiki lamp? That's what it comes to my mind, is a tiki lamp we have in our backyard. Tiki lamps are fun. You blow it out. It's an interesting thing because by virtue of the type of fuel that drives that tiki lamp, you blow it out. Have you noticed when you blow it out, it looks out for a half a second and it can come back? Why? Because there's a little ember left to ignite the fuel and to come back. And God says, listen, if your faith is just but a little glowing ember, it can come back. Your faith. Listen to what he says about this. He says, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things. Mark in your notes right there. That should breed faith. Looking forward to these things. He's tying up 2 Peter. He's putting a bow around it. And he's announcing, not only in light of chapter 3 and not only in light of chapter 2 and the warnings of the false prophets and the false teachers that are going to come, and not only chapter 1 where we talked about your salvation and our commitment to Christ and what God has done for us and calling us into the family, but he's saying to us, therefore, beloved, looking forward, this is a discipline, write it down. We have got to project the place that we're at as Christians, not backwards, but forward. This is what's amazing. And mark it down if you would. Keeping your faith alive, you must have anticipation. Will you write that down? It's got to be something that is kept alive with anticipation. Peter is saying, before I let you go, imagine this old man, before I let you go, imagine speaking to a family member. Hey, listen, grandma and grandpa, is there any mimes and papas in here right now? You know what? You know what? Lisa and I, are, a bulk of our prayer life now at our age is, oh God, may the faith of our grandchildren progress. May it grow. Because you know, they're little right now. They believe. But there's going to come the day of accountability, which nobody can give you the number. It's independent of each person. But they're going to come to that moment of realization. And we pray, oh God, when that day arrives, when that season comes to their lives, may they go from the faith that they've had under their mimi and papa or under their mom and dad, and may they launch out into this world on their own faith. You got to look ahead. And when you pray, I tell you what, being a mom and being a dad, you're going to pray and you're going to care and you're going to give the law. That's what moms and dads do. They give the law. Stand up, sit down. Don't pick your nose. Put your zipper up. Stop pulling her hair. Don't do that. That's what moms and dads do. That's fantastic. They're like the law, 10 commandments. Sit down, stand up. Don't pick your nose. Zip up your zipper. Stop pulling her hair. And then there's a grandma and a grandpa. And that's what grace is all about. That's what the New Testament's all about. Come to me, and I will give you chocolate at 9 o'clock at night. Come to me. You can do anything you want. And when you act up, you will leave me and go unto your mom and dad. It's awesome. Grandparenting is all about grace. Parenting is all about the law. It's the way it's supposed to be. But you got to keep your faith alive, Christian. The Bible tells us in Romans 10, 17, mark it down. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I mean it when I tell you. God is my judge. Every single day, absolutely every single night, I will go to bed at night with my earbuds, what are they called? Earbuds in my ear, listening to the audio Bible. You said, don't you fall asleep? Absolutely. And guess who puts me to sleep? I'm convinced of it. Satan. What? He doesn't want me to hear that word. He doesn't want me to hear the Bible. I think God might. There's been times when God has kept me up listening to the word of God and hearing the word. But I got to tell you, most of the time at night when I put in my Bible, I'm listening to the Bible. I think Satan shows up with a violin. Go to sleep. Go to sleep. He doesn't want you to hear that. Why? Because your faith will grow as you hear the word. Listen, as you're commuting, as you're driving, listen to the word. Turn off the music, even Christian music. Turn it off. Yes, turn off Christian music and replace it with an audio Bible. Listen. Listen to God's word. Try it sometime. Try it all this week. Watch what happens to your soul. All week, starting tomorrow, try it. It breeds anticipation. Secondly, look under verse 14. Keep your faith alive. And that's what he's really begging the church as he departs from this world. Before I let you go, keep your faith alive with devotion. Devotion. Will you please mark that down? Judge yourself this morning. I claim to be a Christian. I profess Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this then. Do you anticipate the future with God? Do you understand that? So I don't know what the future holds. You don't have to know. It's a good thing you don't know. God knows. Yeah, but I don't know about this and I don't know about that. You're not supposed to know. God knows. Do you look, a Christian looks forward with anticipation to the future, and that breeds within us devotion to God. We've got a future, Christian. It's not coming to an end. Do you understand that? If you're a Christian, it doesn't come to an end for you. Look, we may change addresses. We're going to get a new passport pretty soon. All right? But for the believer, it doesn't end. And regarding that breeds anticipation. So then what do I act? What do I do regarding this anticipation? Devotion to God. If I truly have faith, I am going to be devoted to the things of God. Now, listen, what I'm going to be saying today might sound legalistic to, oh, this is tough. Listen, pause for effect. What I'm going to say will sound like legalism to the person who is not familiar with the powerful grace of God. And it is this. Because God is gracious, because Christ has saved us, he has invited us to partake of his spirit and of his family, and thereby we are to be a devoted people. That is a people serious about the things of God. Devoted to the things of God, not whimsical, not off the cuff, but absolutely devoted to the very nature and the purpose and the will of God. You're serious about it. You wake up. Listen, if you wake up in the morning and your thoughts are not on God, that person who's devoted to God says a prayer like this: God, make my thoughts devoted to you when I wake up. All day long, dear God, my actions, may I be devoted to you. Are you hearing me? All the way through, God. Now, you, listen, that's going to last for a while where you've got to ask him to set your mind as you awake, devoted to God. And then after a while, what's so cool? It's kind of like wearing, I guess, a cast where it all sets eventually. It all sets. And many of us who have been around Jesus for a long time can tell you that Christ wakes us up every morning and the first thought in our head are thoughts like this.
Hallelujah.
A hallelujah. And in fact, it is a hallelujah. I'm still here. Lord, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Today's Monday. Well, Sunday, you know, tomorrow. Lord, it's Monday. Praise the Lord. But we're still here. Rapture didn't happen during the night. I didn't die. So Lord, as I said before, what are we going to do today? Amen. What are we going to do today, Jesus? Being devoted to him. Devotion. Why is it that the works-based cults and religions of the world have unquestioned devotion from their adherents, right? Think of it. Allow me to be direct. I'm not going to pull any punches, but think about it. What if right now I were to tell you as your spiritual advisor, as your shepherd, that you will get a bicycle and you will go door to door throughout your neighborhood or your county or your city, and you will share the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I want to know how many doors you knock on at the end of the month. What if I were to tell you that? You'd say, man, that's not, I am not going back to that church again. What if I were to say that? Listen, are the Mormons devoted?
Yes.
Their devotion sometimes most often puts us to shame. My heart breaks for them. Their motivation is altogether different than yours, at least it better be. Their motivation is, I have got to produce good works to get myself or keep myself saved and get myself into the celestial kingdom that we've learned about in Mormonism. Their motive is self-based. Listen carefully. You see what's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with it. It's fantastic for a nation, for a state, for a county, for a city. Makes for good citizens. But you can't translate that into the kingdom of God, into heaven. The motive's wrong. What about our Jehovah Witness friends who go door to door and will stand in the heat and in the cold and in the rain and argue with you from their case why they believe this and that, when you and I can barely go next door to our neighbor and tell our neighbor about Jesus? And they're propagating something that is absolutely man-made and not true, but their devotion to it causes you to doubt. And then comes the Christian, because from our culture today, and this has been true for the last 100 years in the Western world, that devotion from the believer, we should be the most energetic about our God, should we not? Why? Because our motive is true. Our motive is, it's all about Jesus. It's this, it's so simple. He did this to me. He saved me. He rescued me in my absolute depravity. He's amazing. He's amazing. And because that's true, I want others to know him too. That's our motive. And if it's not our motive, then we are not devoted as God would have devotion. Why are you following Jesus today? Peter would want to know that before he passes. He wants to look at his spiritual kids and grandkids and say to them, is your faith real? Is it true? Nurture it, strengthen it, don't lose it.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in a message called Before I Let You Go, Part 1. Thanks for joining us today. Before I Let You Go, Part 1, is part of Pastor Jack's series called Combat Faith, A Study in 2 Peter. It's a series about the Apostle Peter, whose life was transformed by the salvation of Jesus Christ, and whose passion was to live out his faith as a messenger of the gospel. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Do you feel the growing tide of hostility in this world? It's almost unavoidable. The frustration, the outrage, and the victim mentality that takes over respect and reason. But how do we share our faith in a society that's godless? And how do we stay rooted in biblical truth in such an angry world? And how do we continue to publicly testify for Jesus? Our book of the month for August is called We Will Not Be Silenced, written by Erwin Lutzer. It prepares us to live out our faith by gaining a better understanding of legitimate hurts like racism, sexism, and poverty. When our culture gives us a toxic response and disguises it as a solution, We Will Not Be Silenced shows us how to respond to those outside the faith with compassion and gentleness without affirming their beliefs. So, are you ready to move beyond fear and boldly represent Christ? Our world is watching what we do, and the world needs Jesus right now more than ever. We Will Not Be Silenced by Erwin Lutzer is a must-read for strength and encouragement. And it's available for a gift of any amount at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.